podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
You know, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards.
Walking backwards. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the Creep songs. Those are
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. I heard a comedian talk about him and Michael J. Fox. You know, the world, something's wrong with the world when Michael J. Fox is all screwed up and Ozzy's fine.
Let's go.
Hey, it's Bill. You're tuned to the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, RudaRooRadio.com, BuildTheScene.com, and 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri. With me for episode number 442 are Joey, Jeff, and Eric from the band Storm Dragon out of Pittsburgh. What's up, guys?
Woohoo!
Hey!
Hey, what's up?
Howdy.
So, I say out of Pittsburgh, but I one of you is in Wheeling. Or where are the other two of you at?
Jeff?
I'm in Steubenville, Ohio.
And Jonathan, who's not here, he's also up in Steubenville. He couldn't make it tonight. Eric, this is Eric. I'm in Pittsburgh, South Hills. And Jack, he couldn't make it tonight either, apparently. He's down in Houston, PA. So, yeah, we're spread out pretty good.
So that brings up the question, how did you guys come together?
That, I think, Joe should answer.
Well, I met Jeff at Monroe Mufflers. What year was that, Jeff? Do you remember?
Oh, that was probably 2011, I would say.
Yeah, we started talking, and I showed him some work that I was doing with the band at the moment, which was a band called Atlas Forge. And I wanted to bring Jeff in because Jeff's an awesome lead guitar player. And they said no. So I said, okay. So me and Jeff kind of stayed in touch, and Jeff called me, I think it was about 4 years later, wasn't it, Jeff? Somewhere around there?
Something like that, yeah. It's a couple of years ago now. About three. Yeah.
And then we went down there, and I wrote a couple songs for him, and then we took a small break, I think it was about 2 months or something like that, and then we came back, and me and Jeff just started this, and then we found Jonathan, and shit, pretty much the rest of history. We came in, put an ad in for a bass player and the drummer, and we found Jack and Eric, man, and the rest is history, man. We formed Storm Dragon.
Yep. That was January of 2017 when we all got together. Well, that's when Jack and I came down and auditioned anyway.
I knew it had to be fairly recently because I had contacted Eric about doing his past band. And he's like, well, I'm not in that band anymore.
Yeah, that was Sheba Stone. And the singer had moved to California, and we all just kind of fell apart and went different directions. Now my guitar player from that band, he's in Alter the Design. Yep. I'm sure you've interviewed them, right?
I have multiple times. And I may have just nominated one of their songs for best song at Iron City Rocks.
Right on, man. I just saw them on Saturday night down here. Jurgles opening for
Puddle of Mud.
Yeah, it was a great show. They sold out the house. They filled it. It was great. Huge crowd.
I have yet to see them live, but it will happen someday.
They're good. Trust me.
So now that I got one of those generic questions out of the way. The Joey Storm. I'm assuming that's where Storm Dragging came from, and I'm assuming Joey will answer that one, but where did the name Storm Dragon come from?
Well, that one is kind of a difficult question because I pondered the name for a very long time, and I really didn't know what I wanted to do with I knew I wanted dragon, but I didn't really know what I needed to be put in front of that, you know. Well, it's like this. I was outside, and it was just a huge storm outside, man. Rain was falling. I mean, it was coming down. You could just see it coming out of the ground, coming out of the sky. And boom, I heard a big thunder. And what was it? Storm. And that's how that came to be right there.
Well, when I say it, I feel like I need to make a fist and scream.
Yeah, man. It's a powerful name. I mean, really, it's energy. There's a lot of power, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And being a school teacher, it also makes me think of Harry Potter and Aragorn. But
there you go.
Maybe Puff. But that one's not nearly as...
Game of Thrones, maybe, right?
You know, see, you probably
haven't. I haven't watched it.
I've watched one episode.
Yeah,
about the same here.
I haven't checked it out. I never got into it. The one I watched was like mostly focused on some political intrigue, and I was like, dude, where's the dragons? I just gave up on it right after that.
So, you guys released Strike at Dawn. I can't remember the release date, but within the last year.
It was October 23rd, 2018.
That's my wife's birthday. I should have remembered that.
Nice.
Oh, you're in trouble, Bill.
Well, I remembered her birthday. I didn't remember your album.
Oh, okay.
So I'm in trouble. Still in trouble. You guys, and you're,
we're going to hold you to it.
None of you are close, so I'm good.
Yeah. Wife is closest.
Yes. Although she's currently at work.
Oh, that's great.
So you sent me Dawn of a New Creation and Strike Me Down, and we'll get into that a little bit more later. But what I want you to tell me is a little bit about how the EP was recorded. Like, where did you record it? What was the process? Was there anything odd that happened while you were doing it, or anything exciting that most people wouldn't have happen?
Oh, God. Here we go. This is a long, what's a good adjective for this story, Jeff? This is
actually it took a long time to record that song, about a year, didn't it, guys?
Over a year to record those two songs.
Not continuously, mind you, but.
Oh, of course not. Here's what happened. I'll put it in a nutshell. Someone that, Jack knew, Jack offered up, said, you know, this guy, he's learning how to do recording and stuff, and, you know, he's done a few things for some people. They sounded pretty good, so we could try him out because he's not charging very much. And we're not signed or anything. We're all paying this out of pocket. So we're like, well, give him a shot. He's not going to charge us very much money. Let's see what we can do. Well, so for one, he wasn't available very often, and then we had our own scheduling issues, so it took us months just to get over there and lay down some tracks, drums, bass, guitars, and then came the vocals. And this, mind you, is over the course of like 6 months or something. And Joe goes over and does the vocals, and for whatever reason, the guy couldn't get the sound right, not in the room or in his mic and his overhead, his cans, his headphones and stuff. So, yeah, so he was like, Joe was like having to kind of scream rather than sing, and that's not Joe's style. Joe's a good singer. So he couldn't capture it right. We play it back, we listen to it, and just like it sounded hollow and empty. And so Joe kept going back as schedules would permit, try again, and months passed. Finally, it's like, it's coming up on a year, and we're just like, gosh, this sucks. So, Jeff actually used to be a student of Jim Dofka here in the area, and, Joe knows him pretty good too. So they said, they're both like, you know what? Why don't we just get Jim on the job? Because he knows exactly what he's doing, and he may charge more, but it'll be so worth it to get really good quality vocals and an awesome mix from Jim. So ended up going down to Joe. Actually, you went down to Dofka's studios, and Jeff, I think you went down there and redid some of the guitar work too, right?
No, I actually didn't have to do very much of that. I just went down for backup vocals and just to be there for the mix as well.
Right on. Yeah, Joey, that was all you, man. You and Jim, though, you guys hit it off well, right?
Yeah, we went in there, man, and laid down Dawn of New Creation pretty quickly in about, I think, about 3 hours, 3 or 4 hours. And I went back again, I think, about 2 months later, and then we did a strike. And, man, he was able to blend it in, you know. He was able to fit it in the mix, and I was able to sing comfortably, you know, without overwhelming my voice. And, man, it worked out great with Jim. I mean, he's been around for a long time, and he knows his shit, you know. So I was very happy. We were all happy with it.
Yeah. All said, though, it was well over a year in the making.
You know, I don't think Donnie had much experience doing metals, yeah. Doing metal vocals is what I'm thinking, because he wasn't able to blend it in. He wasn't able to make a gel. He wasn't able to elevate the vocals at all. He wasn't able to add nothing to it. I'd go in and sing, and he'd play it back, and, all right, man, add something to it. You know, he'd add something to it, but it wasn't doing nothing to my vocals, you know. It wasn't helping it. I wasn't doing anything to it. So finally, it's like, man, I'm not even going to come to this guy no more, you know.
Now, so you guys kept the instrumental track part of it, and then Jim recorded the vocals and mixed everything up.
Yeah,
that's right.
So, exactly.
So we've decided that the next set of songs, which will comprise our first album, we're just going to go directly to Jim.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah,
because you know, Jim has been doing this for a long time. You know, he's really experienced. I kind of wanted him at the very beginning, you know.
Yeah. We were all kind of having sticker shock at the beginning there, just like, you know, wow, doing a whole album, it's going to cost thousands of bucks, and you know, it's just, we'd have to pony up the cash up front. At the time, we were still pretty freshly together, and you know, none of us are, well, some of us are making pretty good paychecks, but not everybody. So, you know, it's hard to be even with everybody, you know, everyone paying their fair share when some of us are, you know, having a rough time coming up with enough cash to come up with that. Because, you know, you go into a studio and you're going to spend a few $100 per song. So you figure an album, you're looking at a few $1,000, you know, at least.
But plus, Jim's our friend too. You know, he was able to help us out and work with us. And he was like a monster, man. He was relentless. He went in there and, you know, we recorded the vocals, and he mixed it in. He blended everything in, and shit, I was so happy.
Oh yeah,
happy.
It sounds great too. Your voice sounds so clear and clean on these tracks.
And that's how it's supposed to be, you know. With Donnie, I don't know why Donnie wasn't able to do that, but yeah. It just didn't work with Donnie.
Yep.
So we ain't going to go see Donnie again.
Sorry, Don. If you're listening to this, we tried,
don't,
man.
Don't give a last name. You don't want to burn your bridges.
Right on.
No, it's all in fun, though, you know. He's still a friend, but no, as far as him helping us, recording us, that won't work. No, but as far as the vocals from Storm Dragon, man, we want to keep it original. You know, I'm still trying to find that niche, you know, where I need to put the vocals in originally, you know, where they need to be. I'm still working on that. You know, for me, that's going to probably be a never-ending situation there, you know.
Yep.
But I'm loving it, you know.
Why don't you guys tell me some of the albums or bands that are in your music collection?
You want me to start? I'll start.
Yeah, good, Eric.
So I've got like everything from Judas Priest, almost everything from Iron Maiden. I think I'm missing a couple of the more recent albums here and there. All the Black Sabbath, at least up and through the Dio era, and a few of the ones later, whatever. And then I've got all kinds of crazy stuff like Opeth. I love Opeth. And the album that, really got me into them was Deliverance. I was hearing them actually on a radio station online years back. It was called, Chronix Aggression. I think it was on chronixradio.com. I bought their t-shirt because I loved it. But, yeah, I was a buddy of mine actually wanted me to listen to them. And the first time I heard their music, I was just like, ah, I can't take it. Because I'm not a big fan of those death metal growls, you know. I like clean, you know, really powerful vocalists. Like, you know, I was saying, like Bruce Dickinson and Ronnie James Dio and, you know, Rob Halford, the metal god, of course. So listening to Michael Ackerfeld from Opeth, the first time I heard him, he was just death metal growls like the whole album. And I was like, man, I can't really like it. But then I was listening to that radio station online while I was sitting at work one day, and the song came on. And I don't know if you ever heard Deliverance by Opeth.
I have not. My musical adventures are mostly unsigned bands.
Ah, that's awesome.
When I'm in the car, I'm listening to talk radio. I'm old.
Ah, that's right. But the drummer, Martin Lopez, back then, it just blew my mind. I was just listening to him and the way he plays and the style and the consistency, the speed and accuracy, just mind-boggling. And I fell in love with the song before I ever heard the vocals. And then I heard them again with the vocals and started to open my mind to it a little bit. And then a couple albums later, they start coming out with clean vocals. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. And I started getting into their catalog a little more. The early stuff is all death metal, and I still only listen to that on rare occasions. But everything from like that point forward is just amazing. So, yeah, that kind of stuff, I love that. Opeth has been one of my most favorite bands in the last few years. But I better shut up and let you guys talk. Hit it up.
Jeff, go ahead, bro.
All right, well, I mean, mine kind of spans a lot of territory. Anything from, I'd say probably the biggest influence over most of my life and whose records I have the most of would be Yngwie Malmsteen. Got a lot of that. Everything he's ever released, pretty much. It also goes into a lot of power metal stuff, like the classics like Helloween or Blind Guardian or even some, you know, more obscure stuff. A lot of unsigned bands as well. Dark Forest is a really good one out of the UK that I really have gotten into lately. And it goes into black metal too, because I was into that for several years, and I was in a black metal band called Necrotherion. But particularly the old stuff, you know, Mayhem, Bursum, Satyricon, stuff like that, earlier death metal in a lot of cases. I mean, obviously Death, you know, Morbid Angel, bands like that. Eventually sort of got more into the prog rock thing and prog metal as well, but you know, a lot of Rush and Uriah Heep, Yes, stuff like that, Kansas, and obviously your classics, your Priest, your Maiden, your Sabbath, especially the Tony Martin era, which I have to say is my favorite. I'm probably going to catch crap for that, but I don't care. And
yeah, well, you also like Rainbow when what's his name was in there.
Ronnie James Dio.
I love that era, but I think Jeff
loved that era.
Later, what was who was it who replaced Dio in that
band? Dio is my favorite. I just have I really like Graham Bonnet a lot as a vocalist, and I do like that. It's a little bit poppier, but I like it for what it is. But I think second to Dio, actually, my favorite would probably be the one album he did with Doogie White, Stranger in Us All. And that may come from the fact that Doogie sang for Yngwie on, Unleash the Fury and Attack.
Ah, yeah.
So I kind of had a prior history with his work, so.
Awesome.
But yeah, now that you bring up Rainbow, I have to say, right up there with Yngwie in terms of influence and in terms of, you know, how much of the guy's material I have, Ritchie Blackmore is right there with him, if not slightly ahead.
Nice. Well, Joey, what up?
Yeah, I like, I've always been into the Dio, man, into the Sabbath, you know, the Maiden, the Priest and all that. And, but you know what? Like over the last, I'd say maybe 10 years, you know, I've been listening to a lot of European metal, you know, ever since grunge kind of took over, you know, and just blew metal out of the water, you know, the European bands are the ones that have been filling that gap for me, you know, like Helloween, Dionysus, Stradivarius, Dream Evil, bands like that, you know, that stuck to the metal roots, you know what I mean? The melodic metal roots, and just really wanted to elevate it forward, you know, to another level. You know, Blind Guardian, you know, bands like that. And I don't know why, it doesn't really anger me, but it kind of, it's just, you know, kind of brings it down a little bit, you know, how metal kind of took a second rate, you know, to a lot of other styles of music, you know. But for me, it's always going to be metal. What's that, Eric?
Grunge tried to kill the metal.
Right, but you know what? That's not going to happen, man. You know why? Because, you know, metal is a little bit different than the other styles, man. It takes, it's more complex, man. It takes more skill to actually pull it off, you know. I mean, look at Jeff's lead guitar, man. Jeff's a wicked guitar player, and so is Jonathan, and they're both melodic, and they both make sense. It's just not a bunch of notes thrown together chaotically, you know what I mean? And that's why I love metal. And that's why, you know, after grunge kind of blew everything out of the water, I just like, man, European is where I'm gonna be there, you know. That's where I'm at, you know. So that's where I've been for a long time. And I haven't looked back. But I still love my Dio. I still love my Dio. Still love my Sabbath and my Maiden, you know, and my Priest.
What about Rob Rock, man? You're always talking about him.
Oh, I love Rob Rock, dude. And thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, he's an awesome vocalist, underrated to the max. And you know what? There's been a lot of female vocalists. Have you guys heard some of that stuff, man? Them real low. They can sing really low. I mean, they've got that crisp, kind of higher tone to it, but yet they can sing really low with it. You know, that's been, I haven't really been listening to a lot of that, but I'm aware of it, you know, and I can see where they're going with it. But just think, man, when a female can sing real low, like, you know, like the Cookie Monster vocals, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that, like, Jeremy.
Have you heard Reign of Z?
No.
Yeah, I've heard him.
I think
I know a couple of the guys.
I think I'm gonna play them on this episode, I think.
Sweet.
Since he brought up the female metal, I don't know. I have other female fronted bands in my archive, but Legia Stark. I can play that too.
What about Arch Enemy?
I do not have.
Yeah, she's good.
Ooh, you're missing out.
Yeah, she's so good. I mean, I wouldn't want to take my vocals there, but I know that takes skill also to, you know, come down that low, because, you know, singing is all about technique, man. There's, you know what I mean? You can be born with a certain skill, but it takes technique to be able to pull that stuff off. I mean, there's just so much of a range in metal. You know what I mean? You can go as low as you want. You can go as high as you want. And with other styles of music, it's not like that, you know. That's what brought me to metal, you know, when I was a kid, you know. And it's always been there. It's always filled the gap in my life where it's either, you know, I want to do that way of singing, or I'm not going to do it at all.
Hey, you know? I tell you what, guys, why don't you pick one of the songs off the EP, and let's let the fans hear some Storm Dragon, and then we'll take a short break while that's going on, and then we'll come back and I'll let you tell them about the song.
I definitely got to go with Dawn.
Yeah, Dawn of a Creation.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so how about we will play Dawn of a New Creation by Storm Dragon. We'll follow that up with some Reign of Z. Not sure which one yet. Maybe, I think I played Whispers recently. Maybe we'll play Dysmorphia, and we'll be right back on the Pennsylvania Rock Show.
Of in my mind. time will tell. Darkness falls, it's all an illusion. I see the visions before my eyes. We'll fight the good light, we'll fight the dawn of a new creation.
Hey, it's Bill. If you are tuning in just now, you missed the beginning of the interview with Storm Dragon. But you probably did just hear their song, Dawn of a New Creation. I'm going to let the guys tell you a little bit about that track right now.
Oh, you wrote the lyric. Take it away, man.
Yeah. Me and Jonathan, when I first met Jonathan, this is probably one of our first songs that we actually wrote. And Jonathan was throwing me some riffs, and you know, I'd kind of analyze them and blend some vocals over on them, you know. And this song pretty much is more like the inner. This is going to be totally sound weird, but this is more of a song like, you know, your inner demons, you know. You're sailing across the sea, and then, you know, there's unleashed fury pent up in your mind. You know, we're all trying to fight that. We're trying to find that good spot in our hearts, you know, where we can let that shine through. So this song is a different song. I mean, it really is. This one really kind of touched my heart a lot, but there's a lot going on with the lyrics. You got to actually listen to the song really well to kind of figure it out. But we all have that little bit of darkness in us, you know. And is it real? You know, who knows? I don't know. I mean, is it real or is it just an illusion, you know? But it's up to each individual to actually figure that one out. And if it's something that's bad, you know, expel it. You know, because we all want to be good and we all want to do, you know, what's right, you know, in the eyes of man and in the eyes of God, you know. Because there's a whole lot more to it. To life than just us as human beings, you know, there's more to it. But this song really touched my heart, and we all pray for a new dawn of a creation, you know. We should all start prayers at night, you know. But this song right here really touched my heart, and I was actually glad to write this. And when I'm sitting down and writing lyrics, you know, it takes me however long it takes. There's no rhyme or reason. There's no common sense. There's nothing. You just have to let your heart and you have to let your soul and your mind fly, you know?
So your description here kind of leads perfectly into the question I ask. And I'm going to alter the question just slightly. So the question that I ask and is usually if there's an apocalyptic event and most of the human race is wiped off the face of the earth, and only one song from every band in the history of the earth remains, which of your songs would you want to remain and why? And here's how I'm going to tweak it a little bit. So you were talking about a new creation. So now we're talking about the new creation of the human race. So which song and how would it affect that creation?
Well, as far as this song, I'm talking about just individual person, you know, the whole, go ahead.
I'm saying out of any of the songs that you guys have recorded, which one would you want to be the one that would represent you for the rest of the history of Earth?
That one is kind of a tough song for me because all these songs that I pretty much, and I'm the one that writes all the lyrics, you know, I would pretty much say Eye of the Storm if we were going to pick anything. And I wish we had that recorded, but we don't. But that would be the song that would pretty much sum it up for as far as, you know, the eternal damnation, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The light of the sword, which is the light of your heart. You know, but that's it's actually, let me read you some of it.
Okay.
Just so you kind of know where I'm coming from. Now, here's the beginning verse of it. It goes like this. Into the light of eternity, we march by the lead of our slain. Freedom so long and unremembered, a journey through times we declare. Forgotten pain, forgotten fear, and the sorrows of long ago. An angel of retribution, rise on a blackened steed. On the wings of destiny, we ride once again. So run for your lives. Run to the eye of the storm.
That almost sounds like it is the apocalyptic event.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's That's a good song too. Once we get that recorded, you know, it's going to really be, I think I'm pretty excited about it. That's one of our favorites.
Yeah, this song right here it's got good guitars, man. I mean, this song really has great guitars. And there's a lot that we can actually do with what we do, because we all know exactly how to go about what we want to do, you know what I mean? There's a lot to metal. And when you know what you're doing and when you know what you're capable of, there's nothing that can stop you. Nothing. The sky's the limit. I mean, it's all up to you, your imagination, what you feel in your heart, what's in your soul, and how you put it across for people. You know, there's nothing that can stop you. There's nothing going to stop a train from going, because momentum builds. That's how I feel with Storm Dragon. You know, once we get out there and people start seeing us and hearing us, it's going to be the same way.
Cool. Right on.
If that makes any sense.
Joe, you're a poet. You're not supposed to make sense.
I know it.
So, why don't you tell me some of the upcoming shows you guys have? I know you mentioned one that'll be tomorrow, Saturday. But I also see another interesting one on your website. By the way, it's what? StormDragonMetal.com, correct?
That's right. Our website's still on Wix right now, but StormDragonMetal.com will get you there. But, the big one that we've got coming up here, we're opening for Quiet Riot.
Amen.
The legendary Quiet Riot. Yeah. Those guys were huge in the late 80s, man. So we're pretty stoked about that. That's going to be great. That's going to be at Jurgles on February 1st, Friday night.
Yeah, but you know what? You know one thing I didn't like about them? even though they were great for that time.
Before you go on this rant, also playing is Dying Breed, and I do play them on the show as well. So we're going to throw them on tonight's show, too.
Sweet.
Yes, sir.
Hey, go ahead and rant.
Yeah, listen, originality. I mean, that's where it's all about, isn't it? Originality.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I mean, who are you as a person? Who are you as a band? That's the focus. That's what you got to bring out. That's what people want to see. And I love Quiet Riot, man. I really do. I grew up with those guys. And I can't wait to meet Frankie Benali. You know, I'm going to say, dude. You're the man. They're the ones who started it off. They're the ones who kicked the whole metal thing out, you know.
Hang your head.
Yeah. Mm-mm. But cover, that's a cover tune now, man. We all know that, right? Yeah. I mean, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
And that's Come On, Feel the Noise.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But still.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, so you guys are playing with them on February 1st, correct?
That's right.
And who are you playing with tomorrow that I'm also going to play? See, you guys are building my playlist.
There you go. Homicide Black.
Homicide Black. Dying Breed. No.
And
who's the other one?
Deadline
or something like that? We'll
be at that show. We're going to be at Sidebar in Katanning. Now, that's going to be a... if anybody's anywhere near there, get over there, because all the metalheads are going to be there. It's only $5 to get in. So, three bands, heavy music, it's going to be awesome. Now, Deadline, you probably don't know about yet, but those guys have been playing together a long time, and they do, like, prog rock. I think at one point they were a Rush tribute band or something, or they wanted to be, and then they decided to write their own music, and they're outstanding. They're awesome. Cool. So it's going to be a great show. And Homicide Black, you know, as you know, they rock. They rule. So we're pretty stoked about it. We're going to be there and having a great time Saturday night, December 15th.
Amen, Eric.
Hey, Jeff, here's what I need from you.
All right.
One thing that you absolutely love about the local scene and one thing that you hate.
Well, one thing I really, really love about it is just, I mean, there's a great diversity of bands going around. You know, you're not just seeing the same homogenized dribble that you see in a lot of scenes. You know, like I've been in other local areas before, and it's just like every every band playing the same thing, and it just gets really dull. And I think that's one thing that's nice about, you know, this area is you have not only, you know, different things going on within the same genres, but I mean, you also have like a good blues scene, a good rock scene, a good, you know, I mean, you've got jazz musicians, you've got country, you've got everything, and it's really great. For one thing I hate, what can I say that won't get me in trouble?
Jeff doesn't hate nothing. Jeff. Except tequila.
Now, I don't mind tequila, just not as many as much as last time we had it. That was bad.
Was it one tequila, two tequila, three tequila, four?
I think it was like six tequila, seven tequila, eight tequila dead. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That was fun, though.
But I guess if I had to pick one thing I really don't like, is it just seems you have all this music, as I say before, but you don't really have a lot of venues for rock and metal. I mean, you have your few. You have your Jurgles, you know, the Rex, if that's still a thing. I know the Altar Bar is no longer offering that. I mean, you just... There's just not enough not enough outlets, I don't think. I mean, when it comes to brick and mortar places that people can go play.
Okay. Anybody else want to touch those two questions?
Good, Eric.
You know, I just the one thing that bugs me is that, and I mean, this is probably going to sound terrible, but for some reason, it seems like so many people nowadays would rather sit home and look at their phone or something rather than go out and have a good time and listen to live music performed in person. I mean, a lot of people, it seems like, just don't feel like getting out there and hearing what's available and what's new in the area. And there's a lot of, like Jeff said, there's a lot of great bands around here, especially in the, you know, in the Pittsburgh, greater Pittsburgh area, that whole region of the three states. There's so much good music. Maybe it's like Jeff said, there's not enough places to play, or, you know, people that expect to be able to go to a bar every Friday and Saturday and hear great bands. You know, maybe sometimes their fans aren't there, or I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
What's something you love about the scene?
I love Jurgles. I'd have to say that. That place is outstanding. And there's a few others that are really awesome too. So I've only been in Pittsburgh about 7 years, so I'm still learning, meeting a lot of people and learning about the city and a lot of these other bands. And what I'm really liking to see is that there's like it's like a brotherhood here. Everybody's got your back. You know, everybody stands up and helps each other out. The musicians, I should say, especially, it seems like all the other bands are. I probably should get off this rant, but yeah, no, man. We actually almost played, I should say, this summer at Mr. Small's, and it was an all-day festival. It was the Yinz Fest, and I wasn't drinking enough water. I didn't know I wasn't drinking enough water, and then ended up that we were supposed to play. We didn't know when we were supposed to play, but it ended up being 10 o'clock at night. We were supposed to go on stage after all day, 97 degrees or whatever it was that day. About an hour before showtime, I'm standing there watching the band with who was on the stage at the time, all my buddies here, you know, these guys. My wife is standing there, and I all of a sudden started getting very lightheaded. I looked at my wife and I said, "I think I'm going to fall down now." And she looked at me kind of weird, and all of a sudden, boom, I just fell right forward. She caught me before I face planted, thank God. These guys all grabbed me and set me down. I dehydrated and passed out, and so the ambulance came and everything. We had to cancel the show. But I tell you what, every single band and every single musician that was there was coming out to check on me and help me out, help me cool down, bringing me water and stuff, making sure I was all right, checking with me later and make sure everything went good at the hospital. So, I owe a big thanks to the whole music scene here in Pittsburgh. Thank you, everybody.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, guys. You held me up. You got me back on my feet.
Yeah, man. Yep. So. Put some cool water on you. Gave you a cold glass of water. Some ice. Brought you back to life.
About 10 bottles of ice cold water. That worked,
man. People were throwing them at you.
I know. It was great. Oh, man. So there's a little story to put on an episode if you got time.
Just that.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Hey, right, so I think we have Joey left, right?
Yeah, Joe, what do you think about the scene here? Do you love it?
Well, I come from the Omaha metal scene, man. In Omaha, it is wicked. And there's a lot of power there. We had bands like Celador come out of there, 311, Michael Lee Firkins, which is a buddy of mine. Metal fests all the time. Bars, they'd close down. We had a place called the Old Market. You know, they would block it off. Put a band on one side and another band on the other side. It was great. And you don't really see that here. You know, that's one of the downfalls of Pittsburgh. But I think it's building, man. I really do. I think if we stick to our guns, you know, just keep putting out metal and don't care, you know, that the record companies don't give a shit, you know. We shouldn't worry about the record companies. We should worry about the metal, the music. You know, that's one of the things that I disliked about Pittsburgh, you know. But I know coming from Omaha, completely different world. And I don't know if it's like that now, because this was like 10 years ago, but back then, man, it was a force to be reckoned with. And as far as the dislikes or the likes, I like the bands. I like Icarus Witch, you know. I love Storm Dragon's another powerhouse. be careful with Storm Dragon, man. It's like a shadow in the night.
Shameless self-promotion.
Yeah man, he'll bring it. We carry our swords and our shields. We're warriors of metal. Amen. All right, guys. Yeah. Amen. Yeah,
and speaking of Jim Dofka, who helped us record this thing, Iron Flame, right?
Exactly.
Both those guys, man.
Yeah.
Have you talked to them yet, Bill?
Sorry, I have not. I flipped my mic off. Not on purpose.
Bill, you're a bad boy, Bill. Warriors of metal, Bill. That's who we are.
Right on.
So you just gave me an idea for the last track I'm going to play. Gonto. I'm blanking on the name of the song. He's releasing his tracks individually. And building it slowly to put it out as a release. But the album is going to be called Warrior Soul.
And, nice.
I told him he makes me think of, like, I called him the Johnny Cash of metal. because it's
doesn't seem like Johnny Cash.
It's definitely metal, but like he sounds like Johnny Cash in it.
That's so awesome. So he sounds like actually like Johnny Cash singing metal.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I'm going to play his song, his newest release, Can't Find You, as we end things.
Perfect.
So you guys will be able to hear it. Hey, thanks for coming on the show. And as I said off the air, we definitely need to do this again because I feel like we just touched on the surface of everything we could talk about. And more. I have questions that I normally ask that I didn't even get to ask.
Yeah.
Long-winded, man.
So, this has been episode number 442 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. You can find us each and every week by going to barockshow.com or any of the stations I mentioned at the beginning. Next week, we're going to have Zom. We're going to follow that up with Wicked Earth. We're going to talk with Shy Kennedy on January 4th, Jake the Hawk on January the 11th. The 18th, Nine Stitch Method. That's a twosome metal band. and then the 25th, this is an either or. It might be A New Day's Dawn, or it could be Lucky Me. I don't know which one it's going to be yet, but both of them have Robbie Perrone in the band, and it'll depend on Lucky Me. He was in Lucky Me for a while, and then he was in the band East End, and East End collapsed, and that's where A New Day's Dawn came from. I really hope I'm saying the right name. I think that's it. Anyway, January 25th will be one of Robbie's bands.
Robbie's cool. Endeavor Ever After.
That's right. I did that website too.
Nice.
Okay, so anyway, episode number 442 in the can. We're going to end things with Gonto. And we'll catch you next week.
You never tells. I can't find you. Yeah, put a hashtag on that.